earth, sky.
Given half a chance, life seems to find a way to thrive. And this planet, as far as we can tell, has all the right conditions for that to happen. So that makes me very optimistic.
You're listening to astronomer Stephen Vogt of the University of California, Santa Cruz, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. In September 2010, Dr. Vogt and his team announced the first planet orbiting in the habitable zone of its star, the zone where a planet might support life as we know it. In science, when a discovery like this is made, a key next step is confirmation by other scientists. To date, in early October 2010, no other astronomers have confirmed this possible planet, called Gliese 581G. In fact, one key instrument, the High Accuracy Radial Velocity Planet Searcher, or HARPS, at the European Southern Observatory in Chile, which is dedicated to the discovery of extrasolar planets, has not been able to confirm the presence of this planet in the habitable zone. Still, the planet might be there, and what Dr. Vogt had to say about it is fascinating. Here's Earth Sky's Emily Howard speaking with Dr. Vogt about the possible planet known to astronomers as Gliese 581G.
Hello, Dr. Vogt. This is Emily Howard with Earth Sky. Thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
You have recently made a fascinating new discovery, and I was wondering if you could please tell us what are the main findings you have come across and how did you find them?
Yes, I'm working with a team called the Lick Carnegie Exoplanet Survey. What we're doing is we're looking for planets around nearby stars. This is one of our target stars, and this one was known to have four planets around it already, and we've now found two more. And one of them is just at the right distance from the star to have potentially habitable conditions for life.
And I was wondering if you would mind stating the name of the star that this planet is orbiting, as well as the name of the planet.
The star is Gliese 581A, and each planet is then B or C or D in the order they're discovered. So this is Gliese 581G. But I call it Zarmina's world, after my wife, actually, to honor her.
Now, you have been quoted as saying you are 100% positive there is life on Zarmina. Why are you so sure about that?
I base my optimism on the fact that life appeared 3 or 4 billion years ago on the Earth under incredibly hostile conditions. And it probably came back many times. It was probably wiped out by giant impacts during a time when large rocks were falling out of the sky and sterilizing the surface of the Earth and boiling off all of its water. Yet life kept coming back. It couldn't be stopped. Given half a chance, life seems to find a way to thrive. And this planet, as far as we can tell, has all the right conditions for that to happen. So that makes me very optimistic.
What are the right conditions for life to exist on a planet?
So the first condition is you have to have the right temperature range. And so you have to have water available in liquid form. So you have to have an equilibrium temperature of about 0 to 100 centigrade or 32 to 212 Fahrenheit. And this planet is right at that temperature range. It's called the middle of the habitable zone around the star. Orbits in 37 days. The second thing is you need to be able to hold on to your atmosphere. And Mars did not have enough mass to hold on to its atmosphere, so it's lost most of its atmosphere and dried out, and there's not much in the way of liquid water left on the surface there because it just boils off. But if you have too much mass, then you become like a Uranus or a Neptune, where you begin to attract all of the helium and hydrogen in the cloud around you and become crushed under a giant atmosphere of basically gas. You become an ice giant or a gas giant. So this planet is just right. It has just the right amount of mass, a little more than the Earth, but not big enough so that you have this runaway process to become an ice giant. Final thing is that the planet is tidally locked to its star, just like the moon is tidally locked to the Earth, where you only see one face of the moon all the time. And that means that it's very stable. You don't have ice ages because the axis of the planet is wobbling through space. It's extremely stable over billions and billions of years. And so that also gives you stability that would make it easier for life to get a toehold.
Now, you were saying that it's tidally locked, so one face is always towards the sun, the other in darkness. Does that create new kinds of like wind patterns or weather conditions, different surface temperatures than we would see on Earth?
About 5 to 10 years ago, a number of papers were done where people took three-dimensional global circulation models of the climate of the Earth and applied it to this situation. They imagined the Earth being tidally locked, going around an M star like Gliese 581 is. And what they found, surprisingly, was it's actually a fairly benign climate. You end up with high-altitude winds that are like the jet streams on the Earth, but down near the surface, the winds are quite benign. You'd end up with a temperature on the very hot part of maybe 160 Fahrenheit, something like that. So it'd be a little bit too hot for humans to live comfortably. If you were a desert lizard, maybe you could do it. But, you know, the hottest temperatures on the Earth are like 135. So this is pushing it a little bit. On the very coldest side, you get down to maybe minus 20 or minus 30. That's easy enough to do. Humans could do that. But you wouldn't choose to live there. Where you would live is along what's called the terminator, which is the line between light and dark. And at that longitude, basically, you would have a nice, comfortable intermediate temperature. It would be anywhere from, you know, 30 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit, shirt sleeve weather most of the time. And more importantly, you wouldn't have a day or night cycle. It'd be a little bit tricky sleeping because since the planet is locked, tightly locked to its star, wherever the star sits in the sky, it stays there forever. And so if you're right on the terminator, you would see your star sitting on the horizon as an eternal sunset or an eternal sunrise, if you're, depending on whether you're a pessimist or an optimist. And the star would be actually about twice as big in the sky as our sun appears. So it'd be a pretty magnificent sunrise or sunset, and it would be like that all the time for people or beings that lived on the terminator.
My final question for you then is, what is the most important thing about the discovery of Gliese 581G that you would like to share with our audience today?
What's important is it was too easy. It actually happened too quickly around a star that was very nearby, only 20 light years away. This is a very nearby star by astronomical standards. And so I conclude from that there's a lot of these things out there. We've only looked at about 1/6 of all the nearby stars that are out to that distance, and we've already found one. So that's kind of amazing. So what it's telling me is the Earth is probably not a freak, a place that's like no other. I mean, it's a very special place. Obviously, it is. I think it's telling us that there's a lot of places that are similar and maybe even more amenable to life out there in our own galaxy like the Earth. And that's a pretty amazing thing to imagine.
That was Dr. Stephen Vogt. He's a professor of astronomy and astrophysics at the University of California, Santa Cruz. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.